From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Nearly 20 states are joining together to sue the federal government over the freezing of fuel efficiency standards to 2020 levels. Donald Trump's Environmental Protection Agency made the decision to stop requiring automakers to make more fuel-efficient cars under the leadership of acting EPA head Andrew Wheeler. The Trump administration invoked a series of bizarre justifications that industry experts have ridiculed. Trump's EPA also revoked California's waiver to operate the zero-emission vehicle program, which the state has been using to clean up its notoriously toxic air through incentives for purchasing electric vehicles. As a global heat wave envelops the planet, a clear and damning indicator of climate change, it appears entirely counterproductive to the safety of our species for the Trump administration to revoke one of the federal government's few tools to reduce carbon emissions. We turn to Paul Court. He is a staff attorney with Earth Justice, joining me from the San Francisco office of his organization. Welcome to the program, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We shouldn't be surprised, of course, because Trump has essentially been extremely pro-fossil fuel. But tell us what it was that was in place under Obama. As I said, this was one of the few tools that the federal government had to reduce carbon emissions, because under Obama, the EPA had actually begun regulating carbon dioxide in our atmosphere as a pollutant. And so every year there were these standards that every year were going to require cars to become more and more fuel efficient, right?
Yeah, correct. The federal government had been told by the Supreme Court that they had no choice really but to regulate carbon emissions from cars. And in the meantime, California had been regulating carbon and other emissions from cars. And so the Obama administration, California, and the auto manufacturers all got together and agreed to a plan that would tighten up standards over time and improve fuel efficiency over time. And the plan was that fuel economy would continue to increase such that by 2030, we would have average cars on the road getting 50 miles per gallon. And that's what the Trump administration has decided to attack and roll back.
Did you say 15.15 or 50?
50 miles per gallon.
So this was a set of standards that automakers agreed to, that was not against industry desires, right? Because Trump has, of course, railed against regulations claiming they stifle innovation. So automakers agreed to do this. And car manufacturers are happy. The public is happy to buy fuel efficient cars because it's cheaper to run a fuel pay for gas. You know, you spend less money on gas. Of course, the only industry unhappy is the industry that's selling petroleum.
Exactly. Now, the auto manufacturers made a mistake here, and they reached out to the Trump administration not to unwind these standards, but they wanted some flexibilities here and there. But the Trump administration used that as an excuse, really, to do the oil industry's bidding here and to blow up the entire deal.
So essentially, you had cars that are becoming more and more fuel efficient. There's a market for them. How did the Trump administration justify the freezing of these standards? It didn't come out and say, well, we want the oil companies to make more money. They relied on bizarre logic that they claim is essentially in the interest of saving lives, right? They said we have to freeze these standards because it will save human lives. I have a hard time understanding this. Can you explain it?
The challenge here, yes, it's about lives. And there's one theory that they will tell you, which is that you make cars more fuel efficient and they will be more expensive, and that will cause folks to stay in their old cars, which are less safe, for longer, and to the degree that fuel efficiency improves, people might drive their cars more often. So the either by staying in old cars or driving their new cars more, you'll have more accidents on the road. The problem is that neither of those theories is true. The numbers don't support either of those claims. And what they're doing is even stranger. They have a model that has no connection to reality, that has spit out these numbers that show that actually what will happen is more people will just stop driving if you freeze the standards. So people just give up their cars, and somehow that will save lives because there'll be fewer people on the road. It, again, they can't explain why their model spit out this number. There's no sort of real world explanation, but they're prepared to go with it and use that as a justification for the rule.
I mean, in other words, they're making it up. So by saying that more fuel efficient cars means more people will be able to afford to drive, which will expose them to more accidents, so we should keep cars less fuel efficient. You know, I mean, that's like saying healthier food will cause people to live longer, thereby exposing them to all of the dangers that one encounters in life. Therefore, let's keep food less healthy. I mean, it's logic is so perverse. So what going beyond what the federal government has done in freezing these standards, it has attacked California's attempt to an ongoing effort to clean up California's air. We're here in Southern California, notorious for poor air conditions. You know, we've had a historic problem with smog that has been dramatically changed and reduced through very specific government-led efforts. So what is it that California relies on, this waiver that Trump has now revoked?
Right. Yes. So you're exactly right. There are two parts to this. One is rolling back the federal standards, and that's going to hurt everyone at the gas pump. But the other, the more sinister part, is California has always had the ability to adopt tighter, more protective emission standards for cars. And that's because California has a history of cleaning up cars faster than the federal government. And Congress recognized that and locked in that ability. But of course, what the Trump administration is seeing is that even if they roll back the federal standards, they're not going to get everything they want if California is allowed to continue to require clean cars. And so in addition to rolling back the federal standards, they're going after California's authority as well.
Incredible. Okay, so what happens to states' rights when it comes to these sorts of issues, right? The federal government wants to reduce federal standards, but then is actually getting in the way of states that want to do better. And all of a sudden, these same folks who claim that the government gets in the way of innovation is, you know, these are the same people who are part of the government getting in the way of innovation. And states' rights are, not important all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's not consistent. And it'll be interesting to see what California Republicans do, whether they sort of are in favor of the rights of California or whether they're going to toe the Trump line.
So lives, the Trump administration has models that they won't share about how there will be lives saved by freezing gas mileage. No calculation, I'm assuming, of the lives that will be lost because of climate change, because of more emissions, you know, people contracting asthma and struggling with all the various diseases and health conditions that result from more carbon emissions in the air.
Yeah, in California, the estimates are 20 to 30,000 people die every year because of our air pollution.
Wow.
And this really goes after California's ability to clean up the biggest source of that pollution. California has done this again over the last 50 years. It was California standards that drove manufacturers to create the catalytic converter. It was California standards that drove manufacturers to start introducing zero emission vehicles. California has been the innovator, the driver of automotive technology, and the federal government is trying to kneecap the state.
The estimate that the Trump administration pulls out of thin air in terms of lives saved are to the tune of 1,000 a year nationwide. And the numbers that you gave about people dying in California from air pollution were in this state alone. So the states are suing the Trump administration. I was very impressed by the statement that Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey made, where she basically said this is the dumbest decision. She said this has to be absolutely one of the most harmful and dumbest actions that the EPA has taken. The EPA has handed decision making over to fossil fuel lobbyists, the flat earthers, the climate change deniers. It was refreshing to see such strong language. How much power do these attorneys general of, I think, 16 to 20 states now who are joining this lawsuit, how much power do you think they have? Does their lawsuit, you're a lawyer, does their lawsuit stand a good chance?
Yeah, I mean, legally speaking, the Trump administration is so far out on a limb. These are arguments that have been tried and rejected in court multiple times. The strategy that I've heard really is it relies on stacking the Supreme Court.
And lower courts too, right? They're literally remaking lower courts as well.
True, but again, they've lost these arguments that they're making multiple times. I think they knew that they would likely lose in the preliminary court cases, but really comes down to hoping that this will get to a Supreme Court that they have made in their image.
Meantime, of course, huge parts of California are burning. We have these out of control wildfires, the Carr Fire, the Ferguson Fire. The state is running out of money to fight them. And of course, lives are being lost. The fires themselves are fueled by climate change. And it's hundreds of homes have been lost. How important has the gas mileage regulation been to the federal government and to California's strategy of tackling climate change? One would imagine that it would be just one of a set of tools, but we don't have that many tools at the government level to fight climate change.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the biggest sources of climate pollution and the one category that is growing. The power generation side has seen a lot of improvement as we kind of switch to cleaner and cleaner fuels, but the auto and truck sector continues to grow. And so this is a serious, serious attack on our ability to address climate and, as you say, just protect basic public health from air pollution.
Some have suggested that the industry, the auto industry, will also lose jobs to the tune of thousands because there has been this sort of burgeoning field of producing fuel-efficient cars. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, by their own estimate in the proposal that they released on Thursday, their proposal to flatline fuel efficiency standards will cost the auto industry about 60,000 jobs.
60,000! Wow! And this from a presidency that claims that American jobs are what motivates them.
Right. It is divorced from reality on so many levels. It's not good, obviously, for climate, but they don't believe in climate change. But it's not good for public health. It's not good for jobs. It's not good for the auto industry and their innovation. It's not good for the United States because at this point, multiple countries around the world are moving off of fossil fuels and telling the auto manufacturers that they need to come up with zero emission cars. And if they are divided and you know, unsure which market to serve, you know, the auto manufacturer is going to fall behind, and the United States is going to end up, you know, being the country that has the dirtiest cars in the world.
Now, is it possible that American demand for fuel-efficient cars, because it's cheaper to drive a car if you're just motivated by your pocketbook, might push the industry to pursue fuel-efficient cars, more and more efficient cars, despite the government not requiring it of them?
You would hope, but we've never seen that to be true historically. Between the you know this time when the Obama administration improved fuel economy and the last time that we really ratcheted down on fuel economy in the you know late 1970s, fuel economy the average fuel economy of cars in the United States really flatlined. You didn't see it sort of increase organically as a result of consumer demand. So it really does require these federal and state requirements to clean up cars and improve their fuel efficiency.
I mean, would this give an advantage to foreign automakers? I guess Trump is dealing with that through tariffs, though.
Right. I think the auto manufacturers are getting hit from all sides right now. And, you know, I think one thing to look for as this unfurls is where they stand. They've tried to have it both ways, you know, try to get some flexibility, but, you know, also say that they support continuing federal and state standards. But they really need to start speaking up and making it clear that this rule is not being adopted on their behalf or for their consumers. This is really about protecting big oil.
I mean, it seems like an obscure issue, right? Fuel efficiency, better gas mileage in cars, seems like something sort of narrow. But when we discuss how critical it is to fighting global warming, this becomes such a big issue. Are you hopeful that there might be grassroots pressure on the Trump administration? I mean, if you know, we really need Americans to add this to the growing, ever-growing list of things that we don't want the Trump administration to destroy as it just runs roughshod over our rights, our protections, our safety.
Yeah, I was thinking about it actually before we started talking that this, I can't imagine, frankly, that President Trump had this on his to-do list, other than the fact that he wants to undo everything Obama did. But, you know, fuel economy just seems like the kind of issue that you couldn't necessarily be against. So I think this is really being driven by some radicals within his administration. And if the public were loud enough that, you know, this is one where the president could sort of wake up and sort of say, wait, what are we doing? And maybe sort of change his mind and come back to his senses.
Oh yeah, if we are lucky, he might suddenly tweet about, you know, post a tweet in complete contradiction of his own government's push to do something, as we've seen so many times in the past. Is the EPA accepting public comment on these changing of standards? Is there a way for the public to contact the EPA to say, you know, absolutely no, we want cars to become more and more fuel efficient?
Yes, there'll be a very, very important public comment period that will start in a couple weeks once this rule is formally published. You can go to a host of organizations like Earth Justice at our website, earthjustice.org, and there'll be explanations on how to participate. There'll also be public hearings that EPA is going to be scheduling. One in Washington, D.C., one in Detroit, and one in L.A. Those dates haven't been set, but turning out for those public hearings and letting them know this is not acceptable, I think will also send a pretty clear message.
Well, we'll follow up on that for our audience. I want to thank you so much, Paul, for joining us today. Earthjustice.org is the website for your group.
That's correct.
We'll link to that from our website. Thanks, Paul.
All right, thank you.
Paul Court is staff attorney with Earth Justice, joining me from San Francisco. We've been discussing the freezing of fuel efficiency standards. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.